Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, Dragon Friends. Dave here to remind you that if you like the podcast and want to support us and get even more Dragon Friends content, we have a Patreon, where for $5 a month, you can get access to a whole bunch of membership perks, including ad-free versions of this podcast out even earlier than on the platform you're listening to on now. There's also a backlog with literally hundreds of hours of audio episodes of our other D&D Twitch games, including, for example, The Beef Babes, a two-season story about how Friezo got lost in heaven and hell before finding his way back home. Right now, we're releasing something called Monster Pitch Theatre, a podcast where we write D&D one-shots from scratch, which we are also going to write up and release as modules directly onto the Patreon. Anyway, you can find it at patreon.com/dragonfriends, and even if you don't want the content, it's a great way to help us out, let us keep doing what we're doing, which I think we can all agree is incredibly dumb. Thank you. Here's the show.
Did one of the Laroons die?
No, the Laroons are still alive.
All right.
I mean, check the wiki, but I'm pretty sure...
I'm going to check the Renee. Renee, the Laroons are alive?
Yeah, the wiki says so.
Wiki says so.
Wonderful.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. But don't worry, because that's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back
and kill your friends,
you can always go back
an extra few seconds.
You can always go back.
The second age, the age of ruin, the age unknown, the age between that golden age of Netheril and the third age, the age of man, of now, of the dragon friends. That it's age...
called the age of jazz.
Perhaps known as the age of jazz is an age we now find ourselves hurtling through at speeds constant but perceptibly instantaneous, for the dragon friends are trapped inside the cold sleep engine, a device created by the brilliant chronomancer Marceline Val to ferry them forward to the times they belong in. The time passes in an instant, as if in a beautiful dream of the times that they have shared together, the friends they have lost along the way, and the future they hope to once again walk. And a buzzing, first in the background, then more and more insistent until irritated. Filge, you have no choice but to open your eyes. You can hear a chiming somewhere beyond the sarcophagus you find yourself in. It seems it is time to awake.
Oh, me breath's so bad. Oh, what? Me and goo?
You're lying mostly upright in a sarcophagi that is closed but not locked.
What can
made
I see?
Made of granite. What was once a crystal viewport that's built into it has long completely fogged over. It's impossible to see through it.
What if I go...
It's fogged on the outside. That's not
just
how it...
Just keep going. Maybe it'll work.
I reach around.
So you... You open the sarcophagus.
Yeah, open the sarcophagus.
But then just reach around.
And I reach around and I give it a bit of a wipe.
Okay.
Because I had this argument with my husband in the car the other day.
Filge... You wipe at the front of the sarcophagus and your hand comes away encased in a layer of heavy dust. It seems that you are disturbing something that has not been touched for a long time. But
dust?
Also, you get the sense that there is a filigree or scrimshaw-style engraving all across the sarcophagus. When you went into it, it was a pedestrian, simple stone box with a post-it on it. Now it feels engraved delicately.
Whoa. All right, I'm going to hop out of there.
All right.
And blow off some of the dust.
You blow away the dust and you wipe it, and you can see that beautiful, careful engraving, a masterwork engraving, has been wrought all over the surface, showing the figure of a half-orc holding a warhammer in stately repose. And as you do so, other beautifully engraved sarcophagi open as Bobby, Baston, and Friezo slowly emerge, all around a central, giant, gilded bronze octopus, now encased in beautiful masterwork casing. Obviously, huge care and attention has been spent in finishing what was once a hurried prototype. Val's masterwork is complete. And everything is encased in the same dust. The fluid inside the orb is now milky, and it is pulsing weakly, and that pulsing is creating the chimes that you heard from inside the sarcophagus, which is even now winding down and dying.
Are there any paper boys running around?
What?
You, sir! What day is it?
There is not an urchin to be seen, unfortunately. Prior to the late 18th century, that was the way that people just told the time.
That's why they had to build Big Ben.
You're not in Val's lab anymore. You're still on the carriage.
Lab means, sorry.
You're on the wheeled undercarriage that it was originally on, but it has been dragged into what seems to be a cave, and there is a tunnel leading upwards.
And the other doors are opening?
Yes, the other dragon friends are merging.
How do we feel? Like, do we have a...
Like you have... You know how when you sleep too long and you're now tired again? Mm. You feel like that. You feel lethargic. You feel groggy.
Hey.
But you don't feel sick. The bile has receded a little bit.
Dave, you know how the cold cells would put us to sleep for 1,000 years?
Yes.
Canonically, Friezo doesn't sleep. So has Friezo just been...
You're a human now.
Oh, yeah. Possibly Chinese, yes.
But there is a really good Stephen King short story about that.
What, about Chinese people falling asleep?
Yep, it's really racist.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience that Chinese people do occasionally sleep.
Okay, well, somebody should tell bloody Stephen King.
Yeah, no,
I'm saying... The Midnight Chinaman!
Coming soon.
Even you, Friezo, have slept. And you all emerge.
Has our hair grown?
No.
Great question.
No, everything inside the sarcophagi hasn't aged.
Including the ham?
Yeah, the ham is as fresh as the day that it went in. It is one day, it was a 1 day old ham.
The best.
Huh.
So we're all hopped out.
Oh man, let me kiss that ham.
Wow.
No. Can't kiss the ham unless you say something nice about banknote. That's the rule.
Okay. He made jeans?
You could just say, he's a ham. That's nice.
That is nice.
All right. No, Bobby, you get to pucker up. Baston, back of the line.
Oh. He was well preserved when we went into the sarcophagus.
So you're talking about him now as a ham? No, just the rule is it's got to be...
Well, you didn't say that.
Okay, fine. All right. Baston, Filch, you both get to kiss the ham, but if we're playing the future, the new rule is all the compliments have to be pre-ham.
All right, well, that's it.
If you
hope I don't
fuck
get botched
Banknote's dad and then only fuck him as a ham, honestly, it's going to raise some questions about the things you're into, Filch.
I love the fact that the dragon friends have only, in your mind, been away for half a day, but you are already clearly forgetting the character of Lion Shield Banknote.
Let me get boink boink.
I love that. I love that he was so round. Justin. Bites
no, pre-ham. No kiss for you.
Just a bone coming out the end.
Okay, that was true. You can have a kiss.
Wow, so she really did it. Your girlfriend really came through. Shout out to you, Val, wherever you may be. Dead, probably.
Shout out, Val.
Yeah, dude. Are you okay?
Yeah, look, on to the next one, I say. She was holding
fuck,
me
man?
Back. Baston's got a lot of love to give, and let's face it, she's probably dead.
But Baston, think about it. You're 1,000 years older than any other girl here.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Looks like you're never going to have sex
That's
again.
That's fucked up. I got to find someone old.
Now, as I said, there are you can see a trail leading upwards through the cave, and you can feel a gentle breeze that suggests the outside world beyond.
Can we see the sentinel guarding our octopus cabin at all, Dave?
Not so far. Not in this room, no.
All right. I'm going to do an investigation. Oh, let's go up the thing. And as we walk up the path, I do an investigation check.
Great. What do you get?
I rolled it off the table. I got a 16 plus investigation. So that is...
And you're not investigating the chamber?
19. I guess I'm doing a general investigation as I leave the octopus and walk
Dave,
up the path.
Dave, I investigate the chamber. Right. Thank you so much. That's a 7.
No, that's a 16.
No, yeah, minus 1. Oh, wait. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, yeah. It was on a jaunty angle.
Okay. So you both succeed in your investigation check. So you see that while everything is beautifully finished, it seems... that the orb is suffering.
The beautiful green orb.
That's from a different stream, anyway.
The glass,
still a funny word to say, no matter what context.
The glass orb that was once full of a translucent green liquid is now almost opaque with a milky, white, deadened, sluggish...
What is it, Dave?
It's Kahlua and milk.
It's Kahlua and milk.
We ran out of milk, so... Anyway.
And the tetrahedron that was floating inside it is cracked... with a dark crack inside it, and it dies. It chimes twice more and dies. Meanwhile, Frieza, you're already making your way up the corridor, and you see... make a stealth check because you were trying to investigate quietly, I assume.
No! That is 6 in total. 3 plus 3 is 6.
Okay, whistling to yourself, you make your way up the stairs, and then... for there are indeed stairs cut into the cave trail. And as you make your way up...
fucking love stairs, I'm walking up some stairs.
You find a huge, heavy figure. And it's... looks like... a giant mechanical octopus.
Damn, this octopus gonna make me act up.
In place of its head... just underneath what seems to be rendered in steel and cogs, a kind of Abe Lincoln-esque hat, is a single bulbous bullseye lantern shining a blue light, scanning the way ahead, scanning the entrance to the cave. Other than that, you can see that it is covered in spikes, rough skin, like really gross skin, like foot callus skin. And that's weird because it's made of metal, but there are just like patches that have been grown onto it. And it has to be said, a dump truck ass. And it's scanning ahead of you. But because you're making noise and you failed your stealth check, it whirs and spins around. And as it does, you can see that the bullseye lantern head is full of a sack of amniotic milky fluid, a tetrahedron floating cracked inside it. And it clicks its head at an angle, turns, and then the light goes from blue to red, and you have a second to act if you want to.
Oh, Dave, are there any corpses around?
No,
it's... I mean, there's one.
You are holding part of the corpse of once was a delicious pig.
Or, fuck, what do we think happened there? Do we think
are you trying to work out if it's vegan to eat the ham?
No, no, like just because I know obviously you weren't planning on there being a ham in the chamber.
Oh,
I
was not. Well, let's not peek behind the curtain.
If we retcon it, Dave, do we think that when Carsus was building it, it was just after Christmas and he had a spare ham and he just left it there?
No, I don't think
or
that's...
do we think canonically, like, Lionshield banknote was turned into a ham?
I think that the God Cell turned Lionshield banknote into a ham. It's not meant to do that, but also it's not meant to have a level 8 artificer walk into it.
What if a god was in there? Would it have turned any, like, a god?
No! Into a ham?
Well, I don't know the rules.
No, it was supposed...
It wasn't like Carsus's ploy was an unlimited ham.
Because it's a one-shot-fire way to solve this energy crisis. It's ham and more ham.
In 3 days' time, I have a way to save the energy crisis. Unlimited ham. No, I don't think that's it. I think this is just the bounteous wonder of magic.
Okay.
But I don't think that the ham was ever a pig, but it is, however, a corpse.
I'm going to run back down the pathway then.
Okay.
Can I say that as the light on this octopus turns red and looks at you, you hear a very cold, detached voice come from it, and it says, "Mummy is disappointed in you."
Not mummy!
And it says, "I'm an octopus and I'm going to eat my own butthole." There's kind of actually a rising inflection at the end of that, even though it's been like programmed or magic to say it.
Is it sort of a robotic voice? Like,
yeah, I'm going to eat my own butthole.
And in this case, its butthole is Friezo. So.
Oh, no.
Friezo. It lunges forward towards you, and one of its tentacles lashes out. It has three melee attacks. These are spear attacks. It gets a 21, a 19, and an 11. I believe two of them hit.
Yep.
Which means that you take two hits, piercing damage, which is, oh, okay, that's a 1 and a 1. That's 6, 1 plus 4, and 13. So you take 19 points of damage.
Doesn't matter, Dave. I'm level 9 now. I have infinite health points.
That's not how it works, and you know that's not true. Friezo races down with your move action to the stairs. You have an action as well if you want.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to cast a spell. I haven't really looked up what it does, though. Let's...
It's never stopped you before.
Go with negative energy flood.
Oh, okay.
What does that do, Dave?
All right, well, it's...
Have you put these in my spell book? No.
No, I haven't yet, no. So you do negative energy flood? That's... So what that is basically it's a sort of profound bad vibe spell. You flood. It's very, very powerful. It's going to take up half of your spell slots, your packed magic, and you wait.
I send ribbons of negative energy at one creature you can see within range. The creature I choose is Filch. No, the creature I choose is the octopus.
Yeah.
Unless the target is undead. Is the target undead?
Ooh, no, it's not. It's a construct.
It must make a constitution saving throw?
Yep.
Constitution saving throw 17.
17, it rolls a 17, it passes.
Oh,
takes half damage, I assume, which is 48.
No, it's 5d12.
Half of that?
Taking 5d12 necrotic damage on a failed save, or half that damage as a 6th one. So,
yeah,
like,
okay.
2.5d12.
It takes 21 points of damage, and that means.
Oh, I came out on top in that round then. Sucked in, octopus.
Yeah, slightly, but that is, however, your action, and Baston, you are up next.
Did Val leave any little treaties in my coffin for me?
No, your coffin. You went into your coffin. Do you think Val went into your coffin while you were sleeping?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind. it sounds like combat, and now I'm level 9. I can't die.
Cannon.
So Baston's gonna charge in and do a flurry of blows with swords. So what's the armor class of this bad boy?
It's armor class 17. So reaching out and drawing both your scimitar of speed as well as the name sword of Sergei von Zarevich, you lunge and strike at the monstrosity.
It does. I hit twice.
Yep.
And miss once, and I do 21 points of damage.
Another,
as well.
All right, another 21 points of damage.
Chow, chow.
It's taking a lot of damage. Field, you're up.
Make it clap!
Field casts... Friends. On Mummy? 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 It's your little girl. She's waking up. And she loves you. Let us go.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, it's just a charisma check. Okay, well, that gives it disadvantage with its charisma save, and I rolled a 17 and a 3, which means that you've made friends with it. So I guess it turns around and it looks at you and it thinks you're its little girl?
We are its little girls, all of us.
Sorry, Mummy. I didn't mean to lash out like that.
Come on, everyone. Let's go. Mummy didn't recognize us at first because she's been so sleepy.
Mummy, did Val leave, like, you a message or some candy or anything for Sweet Baston?
I am programmed with a message.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to eat my own butthole.
Okay, Mom.
Love you, Mom.
Love you, Mom. Bye.
Okay, you make your way up out of the cave. For the first time in who knows how many years, sunlight hits your faces as you emerge into what seems to be a kind of steaming jungle. Make quickly a survival check for me. You can have advantage, Baston.
Oh, yeah. 19 plus my survival. So survival. I'm surviving. 25.
All right, Baston, everyone else doesn't need to roll because you recognize it, Baston. But it seems wrong. These are the Svalich woods that you grew up in. But there is something strange about them. You see brilliant technicolored flowers that shouldn't be there. The trunks of the trees seem bloated somehow and weep with a heavy sap that seems foul and distorted. Oh. There is vines. There's a kind of strange tropical energy. But otherwise, there are other plants that you recognize, and you're pretty sure you're in the Svalich Woods. Mm. Bobby, you feel the same way as someone who spent years in the Svalich Woods.
Right. Are there any like mountains or like crags or anything that we like actually recognize?
It seems that there is the familiar shape of the Valinok Mountains to the north. You can head that way if you want.
Would I know the way to Strahd's castle from here?
The Valinoks, yeah.
Yeah, all right, let's head that way.
Okay, so you make your way. Who's leading?
Me.
Chuck or not.
I will, because I got good survival.
Okay, Baston's leaving. Make for me quickly just a perception check.
Oh, it's uno, one. One. Boy, oh boy. Ah, I've got something in my...
Baston,
I've got a wedgie.
You lead the way in typical Barovian fashion because of the wolves. Usually the person taking point in the woods will always travel a little further ahead. So you go slightly ahead of everyone, leaving marks as you were taught as a young boy on the tree trunks to mark your way. And as you walk, you suddenly feel a prick of a sword in the back, small of your back, and a voice says,
"I wouldn't move if I were you. I wouldn't do it. If I was in your position right now, if our roles were reversed, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. If I was, whew, I wouldn't. Were you in my shoes and I in yours, I wouldn't make a move.
Just take a deep breath.
Okay.
Now, you've been telling me a lot what you wouldn't do, but the question is, what would you do if you were me?
If I was you, I'd put my hands up and I'd state your business because you are on sacred ground, but also shaky ground.
All right.
You're on shaky and sacred. It's both of those things.
But what if you did do that and then you thought, maybe I've got a better idea?
Okay.
What would you do then? What if you doubted yourself and you thought... If I put my hands on my head, I won't be able to touch my weapons. I'd be...
No, dead. I wouldn't...
Are you doing anything while you're confusing the poor boy?
No, I'm just generally having a conversation with him.
Are we catching up to them at this point?
No, he's a little further ahead.
Right.
Listen, be quiet! I am on a mission from the Elders, and I will brook no... I just won't brook anything.
Trout.
I won't brook it!
Trout?
I won't... What?
I will brook, just with brook, no...
Look, turn around so I can see your face. Slowly.
Hello? Who's this? Who am I looking at?
You turn around and you see a young man, quite short, closely cropped black hair.
Interesting.
Quite young. Okay. He has a very short sword, and he's dressed in kind of junior woodsman's adventurer's outfit, if that makes sense.
And as soon as you turn around and he sees your face... He drops his weapon and his mouth falls open.
You'll catch flies doing that. Tell me, young friend, how has violence served you in the past?
There's been a mix-up. You guys weren't meant to wake up for a couple of hours. I was actually on my way to get you.
Do you have a newspaper on you?
And by now, yes, Bobby and the rest of you have made your way into the clearing and you can see Baston talking to this young man.
Three. I made a friend. This is my friend.
I'm Byron. Nice to meet you, Byron.
Byron, good
you name. There, boy! What day is it?
Now, they did say that you would want to know that. And look, as much as I do want to be the person to, you know, give you... I can't. actually.
What, you don't know?
No, I know what the day. I know.
Do you think he knows what the day is?
I know what the day is.
Is it Christmas Day?
Is it Christmas Day? God damn it, tell us!
I can tell you. I can actually.
We need to get a fine fat goose if it is, so we need to know.
I can tell you that it is. It is Christmas Day, but I can't tell you the year.
It's not Christmas Day.
Okay, it's not Christmas Day. But listen, no, this is all good stuff. This is all fine. This is all good. I just, the elders are going to tell you, and they wanted you to have time to adjust. And I've just got to sort of take you there. It's not a long walk. But yeah.
And he sheaths his little sword, and he sort of.
So, you know, off we pop.
Lead the way, Byron.
Oh, happily, happily, Baston.
Byroni.
Baston, Filge, Bobby.
Byroni.
I want to say Boingus.
Byron, my name is Friezo. I think you know that. The post-it note above my frozen chamber said that.
The post-it notes were gone, but there was a beautiful engraving of your face.
Well, from the face, you would know.
Yeah, you're Friezo, of course, the legendary... The crew?
Byron! Yeah. Little Byron.
Yes, Filge.
Sit down a while.
No. That's the one thing Byron. We cannot do.
Why not, Byron?
Because I've got to get you back.
Make an intimidation check.
Why not, Byron? That's a 18.
Byron sits down.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice place to sit.
Byron, I thought we were going to the elders.
Byron,
what's happening, dude?
Yeah.
Baston.
Yeah.
We don't know who the elders are.
I can't hear you when you talk through your teeth like
we
that.
We don't know who the elders are. I'm just pressing my hand on top of Byron's head so he can't stand up.
Yeah, well, you're very strong, so you're working him into the dirt.
Screwing him up.
Byron, little buddy.
I've got a very muddy bottom.
You must be very important boy coming to get us.
When we say boy, how old are you, boy?
How old are you?
What?
Byron? What, how many moons have you seen?
Yeah. I've seen 25 moons. Wait.
Hey, kiss this hand.
So you're what? You're two? You're two years old.
You haven't thought this through.
Because I took a vow to only look at the moon once a year, and
so you're 25 years old.
25 years old because I look at the moon once a year.
As a treat.
As a treat, I get to go outside, and my mum says, you know, my mum says, Brandon,
is it on the same day every year?
Yep.
So you look at the moon on like April 3rd or whatever.
Yeah, but it's some fantasy. It's boogie, boogie, boogie.
There would be so many days where you wouldn't be able to see the moon from where you're standing.
Do you just stay inside?
So are you actually like 40? Like what the are you 40?
No, I'm 25 every day. And if that night I can't see the moon because there's cloud cover, then I go out the next night. But I only
what
look
about
at it once.
Times when you it's the daytime and the moon's out, which is weird already.
Yeah, daytime moons. So what, do you run inside?
Don't fucking look at me, Ben. You made this bed.
Can we just fucking say that this is a fantasy thing where the moon only appears once a year?
But you love riffs.
The moon appears once a year.
You love to riff. The tides.
Yeah, because how would the tides work? Also, we know the moon's out all the fucking time because Bobby's a werewolf.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Byron!
Yes, Filch?
Tell me about these elders.
It's a very wise council.
How old are they? Because Baston wants to fuck a real old one.
Yeah. Oh, they range in ages. The head of the council.
We need names, Byron. You're dilly dallying. Dilly dallying.
Sorry. I misheard, I'm sorry.
Is it not enough to say that I was sent by the head of the council?
The Lord of the Council, the Lord of the New.
Lord of the
Lord
New.
Lord of the New.
Ooh. Is it still the jazz age?
Yes, it is. That is officially what we call this time.
Good. And what currency do you use here in the Jazz Age?
Fucking shells. I don't
know. And what's everyone's deal? Are they like...
You're overwhelming the poor boy. He's a young boy.
I've already
He's seen 25 moons, Dad.
I've already said too much.
You're bullying a two-year-old.
I've already said too much, and now please, the Lord of the New will be displeased if I can't deliver you. And you know, this was a pretty bloody big deal for me. I've got to say, get going out here and being the one to.
Are we in trouble, Byron?
No, goodness no. I mean, there is an element of undesirable. You're not in trouble in that nobody's... You know what it is? Nobody's cross with you.
Here's my question to you. Who do you think we are?
You're the Dragon Friends.
And what do you think we do?
You're adventurous.
And what do you think we've done?
Adventured and you went back in time, and then
how do you know we went back in time?
You were companions of Banknote. You caused the fall. You saved our people. You...
Hey, Byron. You want to kiss a ham?
Can I do that later?
Okay, just, you know, it's $25 to kiss the ham.
25? It's 25 shells?
25 shells.
It's 25. I'm not made of shells.
25 shells if you want to smooch the ham. You can smooch it anywhere.
Do you know that...
you can...
What about right on the tip of the bone?
You can kiss the big bone.
All right, Byron.
You can kiss the golden tassels. You can do it at 50 shells. You can do whatever you want.
Now, Byron, look.
50 shells, Byron.
Can I please stand up?
Look, we like you, Byron, okay? So if things go pear-shaped at the council, if you find an escape route for us, you can kiss the hand. All right? How's that sound for a deal?
Sounds great.
All right. If you fuck us,
you don't get to kiss the hand.
Nobody's effing anybody, all right?
Oh.
Yeah, no one's paid 50 shells.
Mate, you spend enough time, make all for me insight checks to get a sense of if you think you can trust him.
13.
6.
2.
I got an 18.
Right, you all think that you can trust him. He seems a boy without malice.
I got a 2, Dave.
You have your suspicions.
You think he really wants to fuck the ham. You think that's his main, like, super objective.
Yeah, like, Bobby thinks that you can trust him to take you to the Council of Elders. You think you can't trust him to be alone with the ham.
You just hug it tighter to your chest.
You know what? Give me the 50 shells now. Give me the shells now.
I didn't carry... I have some travelling money in case...
All right, let's
go. Byron, we like you, buddy.
Yeah?
We like you.
That's
we
good.
Trust you.
Stay
You're
away
a good
from the hand.
Boy. Stay away from the hand just in case. You want to hop on my shoulders? You must be little legs.
No, I am. I'm going to walk ahead. I'm going to lead the way. If we see any danger,
you can pick him up if you want,
or any kind of beastie, I will.
Filch picks him up.
His legs are dangling, and he'll say, "Oh, you stop there, beastie."
I got little legs. Where do I get a ride?
Filch gently deposits Byron on her shoulders.
All right, this is nice. It's that way.
We got to make up for lost time.
All right, so
off we go.
You make your way forward, and with him pointing the way, you head, and you realize you are heading not directly towards the Balanox, but to the shadow beyond the Balanox. And you can see, as the tree line breaks for the first time, you get a good look at where you are going. To the right are the Balanox, majestic, timeless, those old mountainous constructs that once held the Castle Ravenloft in your timeline, and then a deep skid has been cut into them, and then eases down the side of them into a crater where you can see, as the tree line breaks, the mostly intact silhouette of what must be old High Islander are now crashed in a crater on the dirt. The towers of that proud city are askew, the outskirts already struggling against the onslaught, the relentless onslaught of the jungle, damaged but in a state of optimistic repair. As he turns to you and he says, "This is our home. Welcome to Laroon's Landing."
Mm. Laroon, eh?
Now, I'd say that, you know, you have time to go to the toilet and do, you know, you could do a wee or a poo, but we really don't. Maybe a wee. If you need to do a wee, you've got...
Oh, you'd like it if I went to the bathroom, wouldn't you? Leave the ham out of here if you'd a diddle to your heart's content. All you right. Ham-diddling pervert.
Am I taking that to understand that no one needs a wee? No one needs a wee? No one needs a wee?
If I say I need to do a wee, but I do a poo, will you go without me?
I mean, I'm under instructions that I cannot arrive unless all four of you are here, but I would be...
Well, I'm not going to arrive with a turtle's head poking out.
Do you need to go?
Yes, Simon!
Totally. I've been asleep for 1,000 years. I went to a party beforehand. I went straight into this chamber, octopus chamber. Some stuff has been happening.
Well, go do it. Just do it.
He's on my shoulders.
So I've just realised one thing. Have all the dragon friends been really hungover for like 1,000 years?
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to lick the ham when I woke up.
Some more so than others, but I think, yeah, Baston completely invigorated. Filge a little bit hungover. Baston probably very hungover. Friezo never feels anything.
No. Dead eyes, look, dead heart, can't lose.
You can do a poo so everybody's in a good place when they go in. Yep, let's.
So, Byron, have you ever had sex with anyone? Oh. Let me tell you. I've done it.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I bet you never have, but I have. No,
well, I'm not one to kiss and tell.
Why not?
Because I have not kissed.
Oh.
A loser!
something in Byron really seems to break. He goes very quiet, and he sort of just becomes very interested in his shoes.
There's a special person in your life, Byron?
Well, Lenora, you know, it's not really a, it's a complicated, because we're friends, but, no.
Lenora.
Where does she live, in the fridge? Is she a ham, you pervert? What's going on?
I think it's probably best if we just... how are you going with that number two there, Bobby?
Don't talk to me.
She got pretty.
It's going back up. I'm gonna have to start again.
How do you start again?
Bobby does a handstand, spreads his ass cheeks, and starts scooping it back in. Is that what you're saying?
No, the turtle's just gone back into
Don't
the
talk
chair.
To him. Don't talk to him. All right, there's work to be done here with young Byron. All right, so she lives
God,
in the
it's
fridge.
It's a shy turtle, isn't it?
She
doesn't live in She doesn't live in the fridge. She lives right here on Laroon's Landing, and well, she's a pretty special girl.
Oh dear.
And we're gonna get her back to you, aren't we, Byron? And you see.
Oh no.
And as Bobby unfortunately resets. The rest of you see a figure walking towards. He says, "You've done good, lad. You should go inside."
So wait, we bullshitted around so long that you've just brought the council to us.
It wouldn't be the first fucking time, Hank. For yes, indeed, you can see figures walking towards you from the building.
Was that a whole beautiful setup?
Yeah, look, it's
waiting to welcome us.
I mean, scroll.
With their balustrades.
Yeah, there was. Look, it's fine.
Those balustrades, they turn to ash in your mouth, Dave.
There are. Yeah, you can see that there are a few figures, all of them in robes, and in front of them there is a. Giant of a man, pepper-flecked beard and widow's peak, old joy lines around his eyes, but still powerful. Look like a man who could crush a skull between his hands. Giant of a man, 50 years old, and he's leading the rest of them, and he has a pin on his cloak. The rest stand respectfully. This is the figure that had addressed Byron as he walks towards you and introduces himself.
Well... You fuckers look better than I do.
Well, thanks. You look all right. I think you've got a grizzled thing going on. It's respectable.
Are you a vampire? Is it Strahd? What's going on?
Well, you're right about one thing.
I'm a vampire.
You really don't recognize me. A fella grows a beard and ages 25 years and you don't recognize him. It's Strahd, you dickheads!
Oh, are you a vampire?
No!
This is an older Strahd than you've ever seen. The Strahd who was turned in his 30s was timeless. He was always in this perfect end of youth age. But this is now an older man.
Hot check! What do I add for checking if someone's hot?
In, oh, fucking hell.
Perception?
With, yeah, sure. Yep, plus one. He's a daddy.
Okay, all right.
Hang on, and he's real old, you say?
No, he's not real old.
Zaddy?
Zaddy?
He's a
How old was Strahd?
He was 30. Well, he was about 29 when they knew him.
Yeah, so he's about...
How many moons
we
is
don't
that?
Know. We don't know.
Wait. But we were asleep for... I haven't met a newspaper boy, so I assume 1,000 years.
Okay, look, you're going to get a bit cross here. but please promise... it's not... There's been a bit of a hitch. Nobody's crossed with you. Did Byron tell you that nobody's crossed with you?
Yeah, specifically
you. Are we about to be crossed with you, though, Strahd?
Nah, look, again, this is nobody's fault. But look, there was some calculations that weren't quite right. And yeah, look,
Byron's gone, by the way. He said just before, you should go in, son. It's happened. It's time. And Byron turned white and has left.
It's not been 1,000 years. It's been
what, like 20 years?
Oh no, no, that would be really disappointing. It's been 25 years.
You're telling me that Byron was a baby when we went into the octopus?
Well, Byron wasn't born when he went into the octopus.
Is Byron your child?
No.
Where? And he turns and looks at Baston.
Oh!
Oh! Oh no.
Guys, we gotta go back in time. We gotta get out of here.
Bobby goes, flush. Wait, what'd I miss?
How did he flush out in the woods?
He just says flush.
I just say flush. I put a leaf on it.
So maybe we can talk about that now, but right now there's something I want you guys to see. Can you come with me?
Okay.
Well, that's disappointing. I'm disappointed.
Well, hang on. Let's not say we're disappointed because Baston has a son, and I think if he overhears us say that about him, it'll be upsetting for the boy.
Not as upsetting to learn that his son is a ham pervert.
Filch, if our son grows up to be a ham pervert, we will love them all the same. Because that's what parents do.
Even ham stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the ham. The ham's not real. We can do whatever we want to the ham. 50 shells, I'll let you have a fucking go.
Led by Strahd, the rest of the...
So just really turns her back to Friezo, just so you know.
The rest of you all make your way into the... What you see is a large vaulted room. Once, obviously, a beautiful Netherese chamber. And now in a state of optimistic repair. And yet still, you can see that it is failing. The Netherese drift globes that illuminated this place, most are cracked and failing, replaced with honest oil lamps. What was once a huge floating candelabra in the center of the room is now hoisted by sturdy chains. There are timber pews that have been laid out. There is a priest standing in front of an altar, and in front of that is a casket. To its side is the figure of Byron, and lying in repose in that casket is the face of a figure in wire-framed glasses, a shock of white hair, now older and sadly deceased, of Marceline Vow.
Oh, bummer. This is sad. This... Okay, son. Look, I know I wasn't around a lot while you were growing up.
The priest looks at you like, this is not the time.
Strahd's like, hey, Besson. Yeah. Just real quick.
Sidebar.
I know you're very emotional right now. Look, we don't... Byron was never really told about anything in terms of who was...
Me
who
being his dad.
Well, I mean, he might have a suspicion, but...
Do you think he wants to know?
I think that... I'm just saying this might not be the time.
Why? Because he's probably sad about his mum dying, but here I am. That's an upper. balance?
Sure, just pick your moment is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
Like now?
Well,
everybody takes their seats. Many, it seems that Marceline Vau was beloved by this community at Laroon's Landing as Strahd takes the podium and gives a speech.
You know, my enduring memory of Marceline was... You know, there's a saying that we have a lot here, that when somebody could really catch an egg, you know, meant they were a reliable person, whatever life threw at you, they'd take it in their little teppanyaki bowl and you know, Marcy really could catch an egg, and she helped me and was very wise in this new age, and well, it's going to be a lot harder without her. And, well, it's pretty good timing because four people who meant a lot to her are here if they want to say some words and kiss the casket.
Are we allowed to ask questions or is it more statements? What are you...
Have you ever been to a funeral where there's a questions part? Has that ever happened once? Where there's a Q&A? Because you said it like it was an option.
Yeah.
Does anyone know this person?
So when you go to a funeral,
my question is really more of a four-part question.
When you go to mourn a loved one or an old relative who you didn't know very well or whatever, there's no opportunity to hand up. What about this? None of that.
What about this?
What about this? And you're holding like a picture or something.
You know, I had 25 years of not having to deal with this. 25 years. You've got your funeral speaking privileges revoked. Sorry to pull rank, but
I've got something to say. Marceline Vau was a thief. A thief of my heart. And more importantly, my virginity.
Strahd leans in. Pull it back. Pull it back. Pull it back, mate.
Pull it back.
Pull it back.
Because there's a bunch of people in there who wouldn't have known you guys fucked. Because you guys met and went on an adventure, then you fucked and then you went to a machine for 25 years. So a bunch of people, I reckon, actually met. I reckon a bunch of people in the audience of the funeral probably like, I have a question now.
Please save your questions till the end. I've been to many lands, many places, many worlds. But I've only done it once. But it still counts!
All right, thank you, thank you, thank you very much!
And I just wanted to
say... There is confused applause.
I just please hold your questions till the end. I just wanted to say that... Vau made a machine to send us to the future, and it didn't work very well. But that's no mark against her character, because she was the woman that I loved. Only for a day. Also, I will never die.
Thank you very much.
Ooh. Questions?
Good night.
Byron's like, hey, strange man, did you fuck my mom?
Yes, I did.
But Milch wants to say something.
Yep, I guess she's going to talk now.
Please hold.
I did bring this on myself.
Me made a poem.
Oh, she's got a poem. All right. Well, I mean, it's amazing because you learned about this death 10 minutes ago.
You saved our lives. You loved our friend. And we'll remember you till that you really could catch an egg.
And with that, the congregation rises as one.
Do they all say at the same time?
They all put one hand out in front of them and then yoink it back as if grabbing something that you can't see, as if thrown by a slug they don't remember.
Solemnly in unison.
And then they take that hand and place it on their foreheads, stand up and leave.
Bobby stands there with his hand on his forehead, copying them, and says, "Hooly frickin' dooly."
And also with you. And with that, people file out. Some of them are offering words of condolence to Byron, who of course succeeds his mother. And Strahd walks up to the four of you. Already, you can see that there are figures trying to get his attention, but he waves them off.
Whew, all right. Well, crying's off. No more of that. Guys, Mum wanted you to have this note. It was...
Is this Strahd?
This is Byron.
It's Byron.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Mum wants...
That's not what I said, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry.
Can Friezo say something to Byron?
Sure.
Hey, Byron, I know that now you're probably looking for, like, parental figures or whatever.
Hi.
And I just... If you need someone to talk to or hang out or just, like, thanks. Just be a dad, I'm hey, here.
That's really nice.
And I'm happy to do that, Byron.
That's really nice. I've known you for about 3 hours now, and I've gotten really weird vibes. So,
Hey, Byron, keep your hands off my hand.
All right. Yes, I
okay,
will.
Buddy. I know you're emotional now, but ham's not going to solve your problems, mate.
Baston, Mum wanted me to give you this and give it to you. So here it is. And he gives you, like, a letter.
I open it and I read it out loud.
It says, and he does the voice, which is...
So he's memorized it.
Sorry?
He's memorized the letter.
No, well, Baston's reading it out loud.
Oh, okay.
Baston.
Holy frickin' dooly.
I have terrible news. We did not realize how the ether Karsus left us was corrupted. The calculations were wrong. The cold cell engine is dying. There is hope, however. If you can get to the Vokalai Gorge... Valakalai Gorge. This is all written down.
Valaki.
This is all written down. My darling Baston, I am in ill health. My mind slips in and out for details, but never of your face. But if you can get to the gorge that I wrote down before, just read up a couple of lines. It will be the last one that I said, because that will be the right one. There have been rumors there that the dragons have come back and been seen there. So if you can find an egg, I guess in a way, if you can catch an egg, I can see you reading this and laughing your stupid little laugh and return the egg intact. It contains a kind of magic that can power the engine. Byron will show you how. Baston, I promise to get you home, and I will. P.S., you should talk to Brandon. He has a lot to understand.
Brandon!
I did write Brandon down, so I guess...
And then Val has crossed out Brandon and written Byron.
No, she hasn't. She's gone PPS. Hey, I just read this back, and boy am I glad I did, because I got the name of my son wrong. His name is Boingus. PPPS! Oh boy, I'm not long for this world. Byron. His name is Byron. And he's ours. All my love, Val.
Byron is looking at you. Respectfully, he obviously hasn't read the letter. And he's watching.
There's a lot of mistakes in this.
That is the funniest feedback to being given a gift by the departed's only child.
Yeah, well,
you couldn't have proofread it or something. God.
Yeah, Byron, God. Your mum was really checked out by the end, wasn't she, Byron? Oh.
Yeah, well,
goodness gracious.
Apparently we should talk.
A couple of mistakes made.
Yeah, a few mistakes.
We should
but
talk.
But you're not one of them.
We should talk about what? he doesn't understand you.
Look, I've got to go and go to a gorge and find a dragon egg, but when I get back, we'll talk.
No!
All right, I'm your dad, obviously. Look at me. Everything good about you, most half of what good about you, look, I'm...
You don't know how to do this, do you, Eden?
Look, this is going to be a three men and an orc situation, do you know what I mean? Where you've kind of got like a team now, like a team of agents. And, you know, you're the star.
Oh, boy.
I'm the Gutenberg. You're the Ted Danson.
I don't know the movie.
Oh,
okay. Oh boy, neither do I, and I'm in grief. So,
look, Byron, let's go dig a hole and put your mum in it.
And picture, if you will. A boy lost asunder, a boy who has had everything taken away from him with the promise perhaps that his mysterious father might yet unlock truths for him that he does not even know, answers to questions he cannot even ask, and yet instead he has come face to face with Baston Indrirovich, handsome man, emotionally stunted child from a time impossible, 975 years in the future or 25 years in the past, depending on how you do the maths, saying unto that child, let's dig a hole for your mum. Thank you! Hey.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Greiner, and Michael Hing. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments by Tom Cardi. Shakira Khan is our producer. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and new episodes are recorded live every month at the Comedy Store in Sydney on Gadigal Land in the Eora Nation.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. But don't worry, because that's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back
and kill your friends,
you can always go back
an extra few seconds.
You can always go back.
Cut to like a week later. Byron is on a couch talking to his therapist.
I mean, it's not like how I imagined it, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, we talked about this and we talked about not knowing who my father was.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And if I could sort of visualize how I wanted the moment to go.
And the important thing is you're your own man.
No, I understand that, Alison. It's just that I... You know, I didn't think that there'd be so many, or any, really, references to Ted Danson when...
Well, hang on, have you seen...
I've not seen Three Men and a Baby, no.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Three Men and a Baby?
Was he in Becker?
He was in Becker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, I also didn't think that the conversation I'd be having with you...
Oh, actually,
about
you know what he's good at? Because in Curb, where he plays himself, it's
no,
pretty...
I've not seen Curb either.
You haven't seen Curb? Oh, you have to see Curb. It's infuriating, but sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, I'm a little bit like Larry David. That's how
Did you understand that I just found out who my father is? Is that something that I didn't make
Our
clear?
Our time is up. That's $180. Sorry. Shells. 180 shells.